They were cheap because they were on clearance. They are not cheap.
I see.
When they're not, they are.
They got paid $19.99,
and they're like $89.
Yeah,
right.
Right. Right. In that back room.
And this
see, that's right before the COVID thing.
Yeah.
So it's still cold weather.
Well, that's good. But that's all the kind of sheer cook and wet.
My mama too did it, but she's bad about not wanting to buy the $80. She was like, well, I'd buy two good pair rather than 17 bad pair.
Isn't that the crazy?
Yeah.
Good morning. Ooh, am I a little bit too hot back there, Donald? Am I okay? Good to see you all this morning. We're missing quite a few folks, obviously from the virus and also from this being, what holiday is this? Memorial Day, right? So I'm sure there are folks that are probably traveling, so keep them all in your prayer. So as we go along, I've got a thank you note that was just handed to me. From Michaela, says, I want to thank you all, not only for the card and the check, but also for your love, support, and prayers over the past 5.5 years. I'm sure I would not have made it to this point in my life without them, so thank you to each and every one of you. As I begin this new journey, I need to ask you to continue to keep me in your prayers, as I have no idea what the future holds for me. None of us do we? I know God has a plan, and it will be revealed in His time, not mine. But until then, your prayers will sustain me. Loving you all, in Christ, Michaela. So, appreciate your prayers for her and other graduates as well. I don't think our announcements are much any different than the way what they have been, but let me reiterate that obviously we're just doing the 11 o'clock service. We will not have the life groups at the 10 o'clock. We won't have the evening worship, and we will not have Wednesday night services at either for the foreseeable future. We'll let you know as soon as we can when we can start back doing that. I appreciate you being here today. I will continue to record the Wednesday night Connect group, so you can catch that. If you don't know the link, it's our YouTube channel, or actually my YouTube channel for Wednesday night, but you can get to it off the church webpage or Facebook, my Facebook page, either one. And we finished up with Isaiah last week, so we'll continue on with Bible study and prayer time on Wednesday nights. A vacation Bible school is still scheduled for July. We're not sure if it's going to be hindered. Hopefully not, but we've got plans in place if we have to do things differently. T-shirts are available. If you have not, let Jennifer know your size, and we can get those ordered for you. There any other announcements that I need to make that I haven't made? One thing that we have, some of you may have been following this, we've done a lot of things with technology. We had to, obviously, over the last few months. So we've started recording all of the service. It's available on YouTube, where you can watch the whole thing and listen to the sermon as well. We also have an FM transmitter now, so we're not broadcasting today. But that will be available probably starting next Sunday, that we can broadcast low power. It's just locally, so we'll do that as well. That way, if we have to overflow, or if there's somebody in the nursery, they can listen to it over there. Or if we have another drive-in service, you can tune in to 97.5, 97.1, whatever it is.
97. 91.7.
Okay, I'm dyslexic. 91.7, whatever it is. And we'll let you know. That is the frequency. Okay.
Depending on who else pops up in the area, signal strength, everything, that frequency is very...
Amen. Okay. All right. Thank you. And thank you, Donald, for there's been a big challenge back there with technology, so I appreciate Donald and his work And then Michael and Greg and Jan being up here faithfully every week during the time when you guys couldn't be here. I preach to them every week, sometimes on Friday night, sometimes on Saturday night when we recorded it. So appreciate them doing that. Now today, we'll do something a little different today. Today, or this weekend, we're celebrating Memorial Day. And Memorial Day, as you know, is the day set aside to honor those individuals who have paid the ultimate sacrifice to ensure the liberty that we enjoy day by day. It is a gift. It is not, some people think, well, the government gives you your rights. No, the government does not give you any rights. The Declaration of Independence states that we are given these rights by our Creator God. And individuals, throughout men and women, throughout history have willingly laid down their lives from the Revolutionary War to the present day as well in defense of that liberty. So, you know, Veterans Day, we pay tribute to all veterans. Memorial Day is not designed to pay tribute to all veterans, though we appreciate their service, but Memorial Day is designed to pay homage, to pay tribute to those who paid the ultimate sacrifice, laid down their lives for you and me, that we might enjoy the liberties that God has given us in this nation. So I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. As I was thinking about this, I saw all kinds of different videos, and there's different kinds of things you can do. But I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment, and we're going to have the national anthem played. So I'll ask you to pay respect to our flag during that time. But these are colors presented on board the oldest active warship in the world, the USS Constitution, 225 years old or whatever, and still active. So let me ask you to stand and face the flag. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, we're going to do Kids with the King now, and we are recording this, so if there's any kids that's not here, they can check in later. Still looking at the wonders of God's creation and what He has for us that we can learn from that. So the verse of Scripture we're going to look at today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says this, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness?" Now, what does all this mean? Well, it means that if we are a Christian, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we cannot be yoked together with unbelievers, with the world. Now, does that mean you can't speak to them, you can't work? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means you cannot be close friends, or even more so, with an unbeliever. Because the unbeliever is going to pull you down the path to darkness. Now you might say, well, okay, so what's that got to do with the wonders of God's creation? Well, you're going to see as we do our little experiment today that there's a lot of examples in God's creation, in His creation, where things don't go together. You can't put them together. What happens if you put an ignition source with gasoline? Donna knows the answer to that. Stuff burns real bad, right? So you there's some things you don't mix. You don't throw gas on a fire because of that, right? So we're going to do a little experiment today. So kids, as always, get permission from mom and dad before you do anything like this. Get a small, clear container. Now, it doesn't have to be quite this small, but you need to put a significant amount so you can see a depth. It needs to be a light-colored oil. Now, this is mineral oil. You can use baby oil, which is actually mineral oil, or I don't recommend using vegetable oil because it's colored. This won't work as well with that. So you want a light-colored oil. All right, then I have four. You could use any number, but I have four containers here of water. This is just tap water with food coloring added to it. Now you might say, okay, what's this going to show? Well, we're going to show you that some things do not mix. So if I took this colored water and drop in here, what do you think is going to happen? Anybody want to speculate what's going to happen? So let's see. Did you see? It's not mixing. What's happening? It's going down. Can you see it? Going down to the bottom. Well, I wonder if green water has the same effect. Yeah. You see that falling down in there? Blue? Well, surely yellow water will do something different, right? No, that's all just the same. And so you will see all this water in here, this colored water, is down on the bottom. I'm going to shake it up. But what happens? It doesn't mix. It still falls. It stays separate. Now, why do you think it does that? Because God made these two compounds completely different. The oil is made out of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen mostly, but it's put together in such a way that it has very little, if any, electrostatic differences. The water God creates out of what elements? Hydrogen and oxygen, right? H2O. But when he put them together, they have a slight electrical charge. They're polar covalent. You'll learn that when you get in high school. So what happens? It's the density, the weight, if you will, of the water and the difference in the way it's made when you drop it on the oil, or on the water rather, the water on the oil, it stays together and it's heavier than the oil and it drops down. You can shake it up all you want to all day long, and now to start with it looks like, okay, I mixed it together. But you know what's going to happen? All of the water is going to separate out and drop down. Now the water will mix. If you can see the bottom of the jar now, you'll see that instead of having little individual color water droplets, I've got sort of a lime green colored thing of water on the bottom because the water mixed together, because the water is the same, different colors, but it's the same, but it does not mix with the oil. So let me encourage you as you go about your life, if you've given your heart and life, and I hope you have, to Jesus Christ, then don't be trying to follow the way of the world. We need to be different. Not because we're better, but because we love Jesus Christ and we're following after him. You may have had your mother tell you before that, you know, be careful who you hang around with. Now, why did she say that? Because evil company corrupts good habits. So we want to be an example to the world. We want to reflect the love of Christ. We want to hear his Spirit talking to us, not to have our judgment, not to have our life cluttered with the way of the world. So do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Father, I pray for these youngsters. I pray, Father, that they will give their heart and their life to you, that, Lord, they will trust you to save them, to be their Savior and be their Lord and guide them through life each and every day. And I pray, Father, as they do that, that they will be wary of the temptations, the things that are put in their path by the wicked one, by the world, and even by our own fleshly nature. That, Father, they will not allow themselves to be unequally yoked together with the way of the world, with lawlessness, but that rather they will seek to walk daily in communion and in fellowship with you. Thank you, Father, for the wonders of your creation, for the examples you show us if we will but open our eyes. Lord, this service belongs to you, and we seek to honor and glorify you with the words of our mouths and the actions of our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Y'all stand up. I'm going to modify what I said last week. Sing. Don't sing too loudly because we don't want to project too much out here, any germs that we may have. But it was killing me, and I'm sorry because... And to look out and see some of y'all were so miserable looking when we were trying, when we were singing, and you were just going. So sing, join us.
And oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for the ways of green, for purple mountains, majesties above the.
Patriotic in honor of Memorial Day. And while before we start, with everything going on, my goodness, some of those words really take on a different meaning. I don't know if y'all caught that just then, but wow. So anyway, same thing applies to this next song, God of Our Fathers. Listen, and we are doing the intro every verse. And
God of our Fathers, who's almighty. Thy love divine. praise be ever thine.
Awesome. Now what I want you to do, wave across the aisle. Make eye contact with everybody in here today. Because it's so good to see everybody. So this is our fellowshipping. We fellowship and we wave and we are happy, happy to be here. And I'm going to modify one thing because I did not take this consideration. And some people may get tired of standing. So we're going to do the longer I serve him, but we're going to cut serve the Lord with gladness just because I'm like, okay, four songs all together with all four verses. That was a lot. So serve the Lord with gladness. Let's sing it all together.
Which one you cut
out? Longer I serve him. Longer I serve him. We're going to cut serve the Lord with gladness. Longer I serve him.
And since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter.
Some good singing. Good.
You
and now we got to light the candle.
Oh, that's right. I'm going to go.
One last
song. I'm going to go ahead and start preaching,
that's
man.
What I'm like. Okay. As is our custom, as Brother Larry would say. Actually, he's caught me on that, so I don't say it. Let's sing in honor of all of our service members. And God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. Warm out. And I'm going to sit down there since there's room.
You may ask, what about the offering? This is a Baptist church. We're going to take up an offering, aren't we? Well, we're not going to pass an offering plate. There is a basket by the door as you go out. So drop your offering in there. That way you will not have to touch an offering plate that someone else has touched. So in this COVID-19 world, that's the way we're doing the offering now. So appreciate you doing that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for liberty, true freedom. Lord, thank you for the ones in our nation who have willingly made the ultimate sacrifice, laid down their lives to protect our liberty, our freedoms here. Father, thank you for those who in the short 200 plus years of this nation's existence, Lord, have done that by the multitudes. And Lord, we pray for their families. Thank you, Lord, for their sacrifice. And then, Father, help us to live grateful lives, lives worthy of that sacrifice. But even more so, Father, we thank you for the true spiritual liberty that we only receive from the sacrificial death of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for those that are here today. I pray for them and their families, Lord. For those that are traveling, we pray for their safe journey there to their destination and return. We pray for your church, Universal, but specifically, Father, for your church here at Liberty, that we'd be passionate in pursuing you and faithful in service, or maybe we'd be all that you have called us to be. Open our hearts and our minds today to your truth and guide us by your Spirit, that we might not only hear that truth, but that we might take it in and apply it to our lives. Father, we continue to ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Liberty, sacrifice, and responsibility. There's all kinds of quotes and things I could talk about today, but basically I don't think it's a surprise to you that liberty, freedom, is not free. Liberty costs. Liberty costs to get it to start with, and then liberty requires sacrifice. Liberty requires a cost. Now, we, as we talked about earlier, we are honoring, we are remembering those in our nation from the Revolutionary War to present day who have laid down their lives to secure the blessings of liberty to us today. But we also have another one that laid down his life that we may have real life, true life, abundant life, free life, and his name is Jesus Christ. So as we keep going this morning, we want to, yes, remember to honor and give thanks for the sacrifice of those who have died in defense of our liberty. But we need to understand that every day, really, should be a memorial day. Every day should be a memorial day. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. The verses of Scripture we're going to be looking at, our key verses, comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. For you, brethren, have been called to what? Liberty. You've been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we have been called to liberty, to freedom. But don't use that calling, that liberty, as an opportunity to indulge the fleshly nature. Now, I just talked about earlier this morning with the kids about being separate from the world. Don't fall into the traps of the world to be drawn into the darkness and the fleshly nature of the world. Because even once we are saved and the Spirit of God comes to live in us, don't we still have a fleshly nature? Yes, we do. And the problem is, if we feed that fleshly nature, it can cause us a world of trouble. It will cause us a world of trouble. So part of the reason I was telling the kids, make sure that you don't become unequally yoked together, is because we don't want to be drawn down that path of moving away from a fellowship with God and moving into the darkness of the world. So we're told here to not use that as an opportunity for the flesh, the fleshly nature, but rather serve one another in love, because the royal law is contained in this one phrase, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let's keep going. John 8:36. Therefore, if the sun, not the sun that shines in the sky, but the sun with a capital S, if the Son of God, if Jesus Christ makes you free, you shall be free indeed, even if your physical state might say otherwise. If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Whether you are a physical slave, whether you're in bondage physically somewhere, whether you have a problem with a medical condition or whatever the case might be, you are free if the Son has set you free. Let's keep going. John 15, 13, one of my favorite verses of Scripture. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus Christ willingly laid down his life for us. That is a wondrous and an awesome thought and a concept there. But even carrying on with that thought is that the God of the universe calls me friend. You realize that? That the God of the universe wants you to be his friend. You guys remember growing up in elementary school. Now, I don't know if they do that nowadays, but used to, we had recess. They didn't call it PE. They called it recess. And we went out and we played. And now sometimes the teacher would take a ball. We're going to play kickball. Sometimes it would be organized. But a lot of times it was just helter-skelter. We were doing whatever we wanted to do, you know. But we would, a lot, you know, guys, we'd want to play like football or something. And you divide up into teams and you'd pick two captains. And what did the captains do? They started choosing people. What's the worst possible thing that can happen to you? Be the last one picked. Because you knew that if you were the last one picked, nobody really wanted you. The last team had to take you because you were the last one there. Jesus Christ, though, picked you. Amen. Jesus Christ picked you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Let's keep going. Psalm 25:5. Lead me in your truth. The you're there is God. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Now, there's one word up there we don't like. What is it? Wait. We don't like to wait, do we? We don't like to wait. Can't stand it. We were driving up Nicoleta Falls yesterday and going up 231. Because I hate traveling the interstate. Do you guys hate traveling the interstate? I hate it because, number one, there's nothing to see except zoom, 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 you know. And 9 times out of 10 around here, especially if you're on I-65, you're going to be stuck in traffic because there's going to be a tie-up somewhere, and you're going to be stuck on the interstate for an hour. So I get off the interstate because, number one, I want to see some stuff, and I don't want to get hung up by traffic. So what? Or somebody falls asleep, that's right. Especially if you're driving, everybody else is asleep in the vehicle, that's right. But you know, I got behind somebody yesterday, and I'm like, go on down the road. You know, it's in 231 up there is a two-lane road. And so that we were on Kathy's truck, the F-150's got a 5.4 Triton engine in it. So when the road opened up, I went around them. But I got to thinking, really, they were doing 60 miles an hour. They were doing 60 miles an hour. They were doing the speed limit. I'm going to confess, I was going over the speed. But I didn't want to wait. Now, Nicoleta Falls was still going to be there when I got there, whether I was... And how much time did I save? I don't know. Not very long. I know none of you have ever done that. But, you know, we don't like to wait, do we? But sometimes God says, wait. Now, parents, sometimes we tell our children to wait, don't we? Now, sometimes we tell them to wait because we don't want to be bothered, but hopefully, a lot of times, we tell them to wait because we know it's best to do that. So if we trust God, we know sometimes when He says wait, even though we don't like to, we need to wait. So lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Now that doesn't mean I don't do anything. I do what I know He's calling me to do. But it means I wait on His direction rather than my plans and my priorities. Because I'm going to tell you from personal experience, when I put my plans and my priority ahead of His, I get into trouble. Amen? So be careful. Don't do that. So we're going to look at a few things today about this liberty that Jesus Christ has secured for us. And first of all, we want to consider the gift of liberty. The gift of liberty. Now, this nation, when it was formed, the Declaration of Independence was a monumental document because it established the source for the rights that humanity has. Because you see, the prevailing idea before then was that the government, whatever that government may have been, whether it was a monarchy, an absolute monarchy or a dictatorship or whatever it may have been, the idea was that the rights you had came from that government. They gave you whatever rights you had. But the Declaration of Independence took a totally different, completely 180 degrees stance on that. The Declaration of Independence said the government doesn't give you your rights. God gives you your rights. Amen. And that the government the only job of the government is to maintain and defend that right. Because the source of that right is God and God alone. So the gift of liberty, the gift of freedom, first and foremost, comes from God. God gave us freedom when He created us. But there was a problem. What do we do with that freedom? We sinned. We rebelled against God. And God is also holy. And His Word says He demands holiness. The wages of sin is what? Death. That's right. The wages of sin is death. There's none righteous, no, not one. So we're all deserving of death. We're all deserving of hell. God gave us freedom to choose, and we chose death. You realize that, right? We chose hell. But God wasn't through with us. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, perfect sacrifice, fully God, fully man, to die for you and to me, to shed His blood, that perfect sacrifice, so that we, believing in Him, might have eternal life, John 3:16. But so Jesus Christ then becomes the final source, if you will, of liberty for you and for me. We are freed from the yoke of bondage. We are freed from the death that we deserve. Without His liberty, we are enslaved to sin. Only because Jesus Christ has freed us are we truly and really free. Because without it, we are slaves to sin. Because sin leads to death. Adam and Eve had a choice. They chose death. We had a choice. We chose death too. And every human being that has ever been created, except one, did that. We are also freed from the power of sin. Because no matter what people say, they may say, well, I'm my own man, I'm my own woman. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not your own man or your own woman. You are a slave to sin and the power of sin, the kingdom of Satan. Scripture says that Satan is the prince of the air, the ruler of this. Now, does that mean he's more powerful than a god? No, it doesn't. But it means if we do not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are part of the kingdom of Satan. There is no middle ground. Jesus says you're either for me or you are against me. There is no neutral ground. Jesus gave us the freedom to be all that God has created us to be. Amen. We all have plans and things we want to do. You know, we just celebrated graduation, high school graduation, college graduation. People are got all these plans, and that's great. Yeah, make all kinds of plans. But we don't really have the freedom to be all that God called us to be unless we have received that free gift that comes from Jesus Christ alone. Free to us. Very costly to Him. The gift of liberty. Yes, we honor those who gave their life to maintain the liberty in this nation. And yes, we honor them, and well, we should. But the real freedom that we enjoy, the only true freedom that we can enjoy, comes from Jesus and Jesus alone. Secondly, we don't just have the gift of liberty. There is a sacrifice of liberty. A sacrifice of liberty. Because, as the words of that song by Phillips Craig and Dean, freedom is never free. Freedom costs something. You know, I heard somebody make a comment the other day. I can't remember the exact words, but it was something to the effect of, if people had not been willing to lay down their lives to ensure freedom for other people, even people they didn't know, where would we be today? And the other guy said we'd be speaking British. Probably so. Because make no mistake about it, when you start considering the American Revolution, if there had not been great, great sacrifice, we would still be part of the Commonwealth. There's no doubt. Because it made no human sense to do that. Because here you had an upstart band of 13 colonies loosely joined together, taking on the greatest military power in the world at that time. When they said Britain ruled the waves, they were not kidding. The far-flung British Empire was all over the world. The sun never set on the British Empire. And that was a long, long struggle. It almost entered, it almost ended in the winter at Valley Forge. God's hand really was all over the American Revolution. There was a great deal of sacrifice. And I know probably a bunch of you, I hope, in American history you've studied the signers of the Declaration of Independence, how much they sacrificed. Because the king came after them. How much they sacrificed. You see, our liberty came at a tremendous cost. Our liberty here in this nation, but also our liberty in Christ came at a tremendous cost. Salvation is free to us. We have but to ask God for it. But it cost God the life of His Son. If you look over in the Old Testament, you don't have to turn there now, but if you look over in the Old Testament, Genesis, you will see Abraham had a son in his old age, a son that God gave him. His son's name was Isaac. And one day God told Abraham, take your son, your only son, the son that I've given you in your old, the son of the promise, take him and go up on the mountain and sacrifice your son. Now, I can remember as a kid reading that thinking, what? Wow. But what did Abraham do? Abraham followed what God said. He got everything together. He took Isaac. They went up there. He prepared everything. He bound up Isaac. He put him up on the altar. And he was about to sacrifice his one and only son. And God stopped him. Now, why did God stop him? God stopped him because, number one, he was testing the faith of Abraham. But God knew he was going to provide the sacrifice that Isaac couldn't really do. Because, you see, Isaac was a sinner just like us. Isaac couldn't be the perfect sacrifice. Only someone who is fully God and fully man could. could be the ultimate sacrifice. Scripture tells us before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. God knew what it was going to cost for you and for me to get back to Him, and He was willing to lay down the life of His only begotten Son. Now, if you're a parent, just think for a moment. What would move you to sacrifice the life of one of your children for somebody else? It'd take a lot. It would take a lot. And then consider this. What would move you to not only sacrifice your child for someone else, but what would move you to sacrifice your child for the life of somebody who hated you? For the life of someone who was your enemy? That's us, is it not? Scripture says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were enemies of God. And when we were still in that state, Christ died for us. You see, Jesus willingly sacrificed Himself because He loves you. There's no other possible explanation. For God so loved you that He gave Jesus in your place. There's an old movie, a John Wayne movie, and I'm a big John Wayne fan. I guess I've seen all of his movies probably. And this was The Undefeated. You guys remember The Undefeated, where Rock Hudson played a Confederate colonel, I think, and John Wayne, you know, was a retired Union officer. Anyway, in this movie, John Wayne and his people have to make a huge sacrifice at the end of the movie to save the lives of these Confederate people. And Rock Hudson, playing the Confederate officer, was telling the guy that had captured all of them, he said, "They'll never do it. They don't care anything about us." Well, obviously they did. They were willing to make the sacrifice. Now, for them, it didn't require laying down their lives. It required them giving up something. And we are required to make sacrifices every day, aren't we? We make sacrifices for those we love. We make sacrifices for individuals, even those we don't know sometimes. And that's great. And that is the royal law displayed. But God, in His love for you and me, made the ultimate sacrifice even for those who hated Him. So think just a moment. If God was willing to make that depth of sacrifice, that there is no greater love than that. And secondly, what will God do to those who esteem such a sacrifice as insignificant? I've had people tell me, well, you know, how can there only be one way? Why has it got to be one way? My only answer, and I don't have the end all of the answers on this, but my answer to that would be, how in the world, how could you possibly expect God Almighty to give the only Son He had, the Son He loves, for you, die in your place, if there's some backdoor way to get into heaven? That would make no sense, would it? Why would Jesus have to suffer, bleed, and die for you and for me if I could get there any other way? There is no other way. Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man, woman, boy, or girl comes to the Father except by me." Yes, that is exclusive. I didn't say it. He did. I don't know why we think that's so unusual. There's a lot of things there's an exclusive answer to. Didn't you guys take math tests in school? How many answers are there to the problem? One. Generally, there may be a few cases there's more than one, but generally there's only one. And if you put anything else, what do you get? The big old red X, right? I always wanted to say, well, wasn't I close enough? I don't think I ever had a math teacher. Well, I did in advanced mathematics to give you partial credit. I would have some of those that would do that. If you worked out the problem, they'd give you partial credit. But still, you missed it. It wasn't right. Because there's only one answer. So why do we think there's got to be more than one way? There's only one way. and Jesus Christ is that way. The sacrifice of liberty. It's not free. It is not free. It costs something. It is worth something. Treat it like that. Treat it like that. Thirdly, the responsibility. Oh my goodness. My brother growing up, he's 2.5 years younger than me. There was something we were talking about one day. Oh, I know what it was. It was when Kathy and I were talking about adopting, and just before we got Diane, and we had shared with the family that, you know, we were doing that, and my brother, he said, "Phew, responsibility." And he wasn't kidding. That's the truth. I remember Dad telling me when we got Diane, when I called him to tell him, he said, "Well, I hope you slept good last night." I said, "Why is that, Dad?" He said, "Because you won't ever sleep good again. Because you got all that responsibility. You're going to be worrying about them even when they get grown." And he's right. But there is a responsibility to our freedom. There is a responsibility because of this liberty. Because of His sacrifice, we can have life and have it more abundantly. But because of that, there is a responsibility. God paid the cost. God paid the cost for our sin. He provided life and life more abundantly. He has provided that liberty, but it comes with a great cost to Him, and because of that cost, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to the men and women who sacrificed their lives for this nation to continue to sacrifice if necessary and to do the things that benefit this nation, not to give it over to communists or whoever else might try to hurt this nation. We need to continue to defend those liberties that they died to provide. And because Jesus Christ has died to give us ultimate liberty, we have responsibility there as well. And that is to love others with His love, to show His truth, to show His light. Jesus Christ says the church of God, that is us, should be His hands, His feet, His mouth. How is the world going to know what Jesus says, what Jesus does, if we are not the ones to do it? We have a responsibility to be the church. No matter what happens, no matter how difficult the days may get, the church is not the building. Now, I think a lot of people in this nation have realized that in a dynamic way since the middle of March, because the church buildings pretty much have been shuttered. And in some states, the governors are still trying to make sure they stay that way. But the church is not the building. We are the church. And we are to continue the work that God started. Amen? We are to be His hands and His feet, His words. We are to love others with His love. We are to give others His truth. We are to live out that truth. There needs to be something different about the church. The church don't need to look like the world. The church don't need to act like the world, because there's enough of the world doing that. We need to be different. We need to offer something different. Not the worldliness, but godliness. The greatest commandment is love. Jesus says, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. These two what? These two commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your soul, your heart, your mind, and your might, and your neighbor as yourself. The world doesn't do that. That's not what the world looks like. But that should be what the church looks like. That should be what you and I look like. I was talking to somebody the other day. You've heard me say this before. If you wear Christian t-shirts, you better act like a Christian. If you got a church sticker or a fish on the back of your car, you better drive like a Christian. Don't act like the world. There's enough of the world doing that. We don't need to act like the world. Act like the church. If you're the church, act like the church. Because he loves us. We love him. You see, we didn't come up with that. He loved us first. And we love him. And because we love him and his love in us, we can love others as well. Here's your compass point. Honor those who have sacrificed their lives for our liberty today, this weekend, next weekend, next month. Continue to honor them by being the kind of American that they'd be proud to die for. Honor the one with a capital O. And honor the one who gave his life that you might have true life, abundant life, and eternal life. The one who gave you freedom from sin, hell, and the grave. By loving him, by loving others, and by walking in the light as he is in the light. You might say, Pastor, I cannot do that. And I agree with you, I can't either. But we can in his spirit. As we surrender to him and allow him to work in us, as we desire him more than anything else, he'll work his will and his way in us. You're going to have lots of opportunity this summer to be the church. Don't shy away from it. Be the church in the full essence, in every way that word entails. Father, thank you for your love and your word and your spirit. Thank you, Father, for the liberty that you've given us through the sacrificial death of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us not to esteem that sacrifice so lightly, but to walk in, to live in, to reflect the love, the truth, the light that you give us to a lost and to a dying world. Father, freedom is not free. It cost you the life of your Son. Lord, help us to live a life in the power of your Spirit, to live a life worthy, even to a small degree, of such a sacrifice. Lord, the altar will be open today. I pray you'll work in the lives of these individuals here and those that will be listening later by electronic means, that you will move hearts and souls and minds and lives to surrender to you, to be all that you've called us to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together.
The altar is open.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will
Amen. Thank you for being here today. As you dismiss and go out, if you want to, file out from the back first. That way that's more socially distancing. And don't forget the offering basket on the right, on my right, as you go out, you can drop your offering there. Anything we need to hear before we dismiss? Jennifer, anything BBS-wise other than the shirts? Nothing? Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
One more song. The longer I serve him.
And the longer I serve him, the sweeter.